I'm here with Dr. Freeman from the Diabetes Best Trial, who is going to briefly explain this study, why it's important, what's involved, and who it's relevant for. Dr. Freeman, could you start by telling us a little bit about your background and your involvement in this study?
Yes, Gina, thanks. I'm an endocrinologist, specialist in diabetes and other hormone disorders at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, which is the largest teaching hospital at Harvard Medical School. I'm a professor of medicine, and we have been involved in the development of the drug that's being used in the Diabetes Best Trial called Bexigliflozin. And so we've been with this program really since its inception in developing a new treatment for type 2 diabetes.
And can you please briefly explain any other research you've been involved in, and if relevant, how it's led to this study?
Well, I've had a somewhat varied career as a research investigator in medicine. My early basic science research is devoted to understanding the cellular mechanisms of parathyroid hormone. I also was very involved in cholesterol metabolism studies. But in more recent years, I've gotten more involved in the development of new therapies for metabolic diseases. I've been involved in the early trials with statins for cholesterol and also have worked on a number of drugs related to the improvement of blood sugar control for diabetes.
And can you please briefly describe the study?
BEST study is a trial designed to compare the effect of bexigliflozin, this new drug in development, with a placebo control in patients with type 2 diabetes. So patients who enroll in this study have diabetes. Their blood sugar control is suboptimal, and we are introducing bexigliflozin into the treatment regimen or placebo and then comparing the impact of bexigliflozin on improving a marker of diabetes control, which is hemoglobin A1C, and comparing that to how A1C responds to placebo and the active drug.
And what might we learn from this study?
Well, we have previous studies in smaller populations of patients that show that bexigliflozin is capable of reducing the hemoglobin A1C in the range of about 0.7 to 1%, which is a very substantial reduction in hemoglobin A1C, which translates into a substantial reduction over time in a blood sugar. The drug also lowers blood pressure, and it lowers body weight. So this is a diabetes medicine that is capable of producing potentially three benefits, at least, in patients with diabetes: a better blood sugar, a better blood pressure, and a better weight. But it is also part of a overall requirement by the Food and Drug Administration to show longer-term efficacy of the drug in diabetes and long-term safety. So that's what we expect to learn from this trial.
And what impact could that have on individuals in the future?
Well, it becomes an important potential therapeutic option for patients whose blood sugars are not controlled with the typical agents that they might be placed on today. The most commonly used blood sugar-lowering medicine in the world is a drug called metformin, and many people are on it. Eventually, many people with type 2 diabetes will no longer respond sufficiently to metformin alone and need an additional agent, and bexigliflozin would be an appropriate choice if the drug is proven to be safe and effective and approved by the FDA. In addition, this study is enrolling patients with diabetes who are at particularly high risk for having cardiovascular events. As I'm sure you know, patients with diabetes are very prone to having cardiovascular problems. Those would include a heart attack or a stroke or other signs of peripheral vascular disease. And the goal of the BEST study is not only to show improvement in blood sugar, but also to demonstrate the drug in such patients at high cardiovascular risk does nothing to aggravate their likelihood of developing another cardiac event or a new cardiac event, and in fact could have potential benefit on cardiovascular outcomes. So that's what the study is intended to help answer.
And what impact could that have on society at large in the future?
Well, unfortunately, the role of diabetes in our society is growing all the time. There are huge numbers of patients who are developing type 2 diabetes, largely because of the obesity epidemic in much of the developed world. And so improved therapies that not only better control blood sugar, but also certainly do nothing to aggravate cardiovascular events and, in fact, improve them, could have a major impact on the health of society, given the large number of people who have now developed type 2 diabetes.
And what kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
Well, you start with, of course, the patients or study subjects. What we need are patients who have type 2 diabetes, and in this particular study, there are people who also need to be categorized at being at higher risk of cardiovascular events than even most diabetics are. So there are patients who've either had a history of heart failure, patients who've had a prior heart attack, or have multiple risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So those are the critical elements, is the appropriate patients who meet the inclusion criteria for being diabetic and being at higher risk for cardiovascular events. But then, of course, there are just hundreds of others of individuals needed to do this study, including all the principal investigators at all the sites that recruit the patients, the clinical coordinators who coordinate all aspects of the trial, and then the large study team that we've assembled both at Mass General Hospital and working with Covance, the contract research organization, is organizing it for us. So there's an awful lot of people involved in doing a study like this.
What would a participant in this study need to do?
The process for being involved in this study is first being identified as somebody who meets the inclusion and exclusion criteria. Usually that's something that the local physicians or the team that's recruiting patients at a site would know by reviewing a patient's medical record. And then they would need to come in, be evaluated, be examined, make sure that they are indeed appropriate. And then they are put through a brief run-in period to make sure that they continue to meet the qualification characteristics for a few weeks. And then they're randomized to get either the active drug, our drug called dexlifloxacin, or placebo. And then there are a series of follow-up studies over a course of probably somewhere in the range of 2 to 3 years at intervals that can range from 6 weeks to about 3 months, where they come back and are seen by the local study team where they live to make sure they're doing well on the medication that they've been given.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate?
Well, the patients are not paid to participate directly in the study. What we hope is the benefit to them for participating is an improvement in the quality of their medical care generally, because they're being seen quite regularly and making sure that all their various medical complaints and issues are being addressed as part of the study. If they were to have their blood sugar lowered by being randomized to the active drug treatment, that would lead to an improvement in blood sugar that might actually be beneficial. But, of course, when you're doing a study with a new or an experimental drug, we don't yet know the full benefit or potential adverse events of the study drug until the study's completed. So we usually say that the primary goal of this study is to provide information about the effectiveness and safety of the study, and the patients are participating in an important aspect of research that could lead to a new drug that could help many, many other people if it's ultimately approved by the regulatory authorities in different countries.
And what questions do people have when considering whether to participate in a study?
Well, questions are often focused on how much time they need to spend in it, and in this case it's relatively modest because the return visits are infrequent. As I said, 6 weeks to 3 months are typical return visits. The time they spend in the study when they come back for a visit is usually quite brief, involving a medical exam and some blood work. So the time commitment is relatively modest, and that's an important thing that patients want to know. They want to know whether or not there are any significant adverse effects of the drug, and the good news with the drug that we're using here, dexlifloxacin, that's been in a class of medications called SGLT2, that stands for sodium glucose-like transporter, 2 drugs. A couple of those have been approved, and their safety record looks to be quite good with very few adverse events. There have been some reports of urinary tract infections and some reports of some yeast infections, particularly in women. But for the most part, the drugs seem to be quite safe, and there, as I mentioned before, the class has been shown to lower weight and improve blood pressure. So overall, I think people feel pretty comfortable with the risk-benefit profile of the drug because they've seemed to be so well tolerated. So those are the major questions that I think people want to know about what their participation means to them.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to say that most diabetes medicines that are available today were approved many years ago, and the information about them primarily focused on their ability to lower blood glucose level. So that's why the doctor's prescribing them, that's why the patient's taking them. We moved into a new era today where we think that diabetes medicines need to do more than just lower the blood sugar. Bexagliflozin clearly is capable of lowering the blood sugar based on the data we've produced in earlier trials, but these additional benefits to patients in terms of blood pressure lowering and weight loss are aspects of blood sugar medicines that have traditionally not been part of what diabetes doctors can give. So this is a new era of trying to produce more than just a sugar benefit, but also a larger cardiovascular benefit. And that's why this study, which we're hoping to examine the impact of bexagliflozin on that outcome, is potentially so important to people with diabetes.
Dr. Freeman, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.